Guys, have your Bibles?
Yeah.
Nice. Well, I want to go right into God's Word, and I want to go to Psalm 42, verses 5 and 6, and verse 11. The psalmist asks the question. The question actually has answers. Psalm 42, it asks the question, and it alludes something about life in this earth. Why are you in despair, or why so downcast? Or cast down, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Good questions, don't you think? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him for the help of his presence. Isn't that amazing? Then he says, O my God, my soul is in despair within me. So what he's doing is he's working through the struggles of his heart by asking the right questions and then concluding the right answers, which is to hope in God. There's a guy named Dr. Montgomery. He's an Irish pastor in Belfast. He once saw 9 young guys walking down the street with their arms linked. They had recently gotten saved, and they were singing this chorus, and he overheard them, "Down in the dumps I'll never go. That's where the devil keeps me low." And these guys had become defiant about being down in the dumps. And this is the case where the writer of the psalm is asking this question, what's up? Or better yet, why so down? The margin of my Bible says sunk down. Now, he says hope in God. Now remember, he's the glory and the lifter of my head. If you stay in the psalm and you hold your place there, we'll go to Psalm 3. I want to show you a beautiful thing that you can expect of God, that this psalmist, David, Jonah, when he was in the belly of the fish, he was in the belly of the fish, and the Lord gave him deliverance in chapter 2, verse 9, when he said, salvation is of the Lord. He was being digested in fish juices. It's a very depressing scenario. Very interesting for Daniel to have an overnight stay in the lion's den. Hungry lions. You know, when I got to be in Africa one time, I went to a taxidermist place. They had a big hyena that was stuffed. It was huge, big giant head. But I was really impressed with the lion. The lion seemed to be 6 feet long, very tall at the shoulders, piercing yellow eyes. Daniel had an overnight stay in the lion's den. That's why when Paul said he was delivered from the jaws of the lion. And then when we have Peter tell us that Satan is like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour, but resist him, firm in your faith. This is really essentially the upturn to get out of the dumps. It's okay to ask the question, what might this be? In the case of Elijah, he experienced some tremendous power surges on Mount Carmel. And in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 5, he gets a report, actually in verse 2 and 3, that Jezebel is threatening him, and it seizes him with fear. Anxiety got in this guy's heart right in the middle of a miracle. Not unlike Israel, when they were at the edge of the Red Sea, Moses stretches forth his staff and it parts. They walk across like it's dry ground, turn around and see chariots bearing down right in the middle of their miracle. And there was probably more than a moment where the people were down in the dumps, probably freaked out, probably with anxiety. And yet they didn't know that God was using the moment to bait the enemy right into the middle of the miracle and bury them, never to be seen again. I want to tell you, you know, you feel like you're right on the edge of something. You feel a little blasé. I don't know what you might be going through. David was going through some stuff in Psalm 3 where he says, O Lord, how my adversaries have increased. Many are rising up against me. Many are saying of my soul, there's no deliverance for him in God. I've had circumstances loom in my life just like you have. We've all had issues. We've all had episodes. The Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver them out of them all. And I'm telling you, there's an assurance and an uplift in this thing that with every temptation, God provides a way of escape. He makes a roadway in the wilderness. He makes rivers in the desert. Yes, there are answers corresponding to each despair-producing issue of your life and mine. There are answers corresponding to every challenge you and I face. He's a God of all comfort, and he walks us through. You lose a loved one, which inevitably we all do. Death is in the scenario of a fallen world. Yet God is the giver of comfort and grace. I remember when my father was dying, we prayed with him. They were giving him this certain medication. They were asking if they wanted to give him more and this kind of thing. We were in a situation where we said, Dad, you could go home and be with the Lord. He instantly went home to be with the Lord. It was so interesting. It was so comforting to the family, but it was so interesting that the nurse said, what just happened? What just happened? I said, well, we're believers. And we have a conviction that life, you know, on this earth is not the full thing, and that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so we just released him. We told him, it's okay. She was stunned by it. I'm still encouraged by it. It was actually in the midst of our loss, the Comforter came and comforted us in that moment. He's a God of all comfort. You, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, and the one who lifts my head. Can I tell you something about the lifter? The King James says he's my glory and the lifter of my head. Your head is the part where all the weirdness is. Your head, you know, why so downcast, oh my soul? Now, I want to tell you something. There's a difference between the spirit and the soul and the body. And I'm convinced that there's a distinct difference between spirit and soul. I believe that the soul is comprised of our mind, our emotions, our thinking faculties, our will, and it needs constant renewal. That's why he said, why so downcast, oh my soul? Why so disquieted, or why so down? Put your hope in God. And this is what's happening here. He says, you're my glory and you're the one who lifts my head. I was crying to the Lord with my voice and he answered me. That's cool. I think it's interesting. The psalm we started out with said, why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God. Now, who is he speaking to? At this point, he's speaking to his own soul. He's telling his soul, hey, soul, first of all, what's up? Secondly, I'm not going to wait around to figure it out. Hope in God. Now, there are all kinds of factors. I think with Elijah, when he had heard the bad news from Jezebel, the anxiety-producing fear seized him. I think with Paul the Apostle in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he said, I want you to know, brethren, and I do not want you to be unaware of the incredible challenge I experienced in Asia Minor. I think his situation was a regional geographic oppression that I think is traceable to demonic oppression. And I think it was the enemy trying to hinder him from stepping through the threshold of his next step of his purposes in his life. So this is something that I think we need to understand and draw from the Word of God. People like David, Jonah, Paul, Elijah, and all of Israel had a destiny. They had defined purposes that God had downloaded into their world and had a plan for each one of their lives. Let me just say this to you. You are made in God's image, according to Genesis, the first chapter. Male and female, he created them. And then he said, be fruitful and multiply and subdue the earth. And then you read what Paul preached in detail about the church as the body, and that we're all members. Then something comes to us in an awareness that we are all, according to the scriptures, fearfully and wonderfully made, and that it's the proper working of each individual part that causes the growth of the body and the building up of itself in love. That's precisely why Satan and oppression tries to loom against you to stop you from your creativity, to stop you and suppress you from your expression, from your independence, from your freedom, from your fruitfulness, and try to block you. And this is why we've got to ask the same kind of questions. Why so downcast, O my soul? Why so disquieted within me? And then, not that we have to wait around for a big, detailed, self-absorbed, introspective answer. We, bottom line, need to hope in God, for I shall again praise him for the help of his presence. You know, in his presence, there's fullness of joy. That's what I love about church tonight. What we were doing is we were pressing into God's presence during praise and worship. That's why we do that every service. We don't do it out of tradition or routine. We do it according to Psalm 100. We are to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Why are we in the scriptures right now? Because it says in Colossians 3:16 that we are to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly in order that we could teach and admonish one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We ought to be packing ourselves so filled with God's word. Why? Because this malady of despair is epidemic in the world right now. But actually, it's nothing new. There's nothing new under the sun. Kings and kingdoms have all had to deal with this kind of oppression. There is a satanic sort of blunting or numbing that's happened ever since the fall of man. And God came on the scene through Jesus. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. Man, you are anointed to carry good news to a broken world. And it makes good sense to me that Satan's strategy would be to attack Jonah when he's called to go into Nineveh to preach the word, to try to actually divert him away and get him to just go the opposite direction. Why he would go to David and say, don't go on the battlefield, stay on the rooftop. Why he would go to Paul when he's in the middle of a moment of breakthrough he had been believing for this whole, through the whole time of his walk with God. And when he got there, he just almost felt like he was going to stop. That's why when the psalmist says, why so downcast, O my soul? Why so disquieted within me? Put your hope in God. This is really what I want to tell you. God has a hopeful proposition for every situation. Even Jonah out in the water, in the middle of the belly of the fish, even Daniel in the lion's den, in a moment where he's being stared down by yellow, heartless eyes of hungry felines all night long. And he comes out on the other end without having even one scratch or one bite. David, who said, listen, you're the glory and the lifter of my head. I was crying to the Lord with my voice, and he answered me from his holy mountain. I lay down and slept. I awoke, and the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have smitten my enemies on the cheek. You have shattered the teeth of the wicked. Don't you love that? Amen. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be upon your people. Look, salvation belongs to the Lord. Real help, it says in the Message Bible, comes from God. Real help came to Elijah. When Elijah was bummed out and he was under the juniper tree, the angel told him to arise and eat. He gave him a strategy. Rest, eat, sleep. Some of the people tonight, they're resting. God's ministering to them. You're here tonight. God was speaking to you. Draw near to the living water. Drink from the wells of salvation. That's why you're here tonight. Because you're drawing from the word of God. You're getting strengthened with might and power by his spirit in your inner man. See, your spirit can be strengthened too. I pray the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. Your spiritual perceptions can get sharpened. God is a spirit. His spirit bears witness with our spirit. The Bible says the spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord. He searches all the inward parts with it. And what I believe that means is God uses our spirit to illuminate all the rest of us. And I believe God's word brings distinction between spirit and soul and body. So we're not just ruled by our flesh and by our impulses of our flesh. We're not ruled just by cerebral thought processing, but we actually can walk in the Spirit, have our minds renewed, and actually even have our bodies be quickened by the power of God. He cares about the full spectrum, spirit, soul, and body. It says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 that he will sanctify you entirely and that your whole spirit and soul and body would be preserved blameless to the day of Christ. The word of God, it says in Hebrews 4:12, is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword, and it brings distinction between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and judges the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So God's word is a lamp to our feet, it's a light to our path, it's substance and nutrition to our spirit. You people that are starting businesses, God will speak to you and guide you. He'll give you wisdom. He will show you as you develop your spirit, as you get your mind renewed, as you keep your eyes on Jesus. You guys that have become exhausted and you relate to this verse more than you wish you did, where, why so downcast, O my soul? Why so disquieted within me? Put your hope in God. This is what we're doing again tonight. We're putting our hope back in God. Oh my God, my soul is in despair within me. It says in chapter 42, verse 6, therefore I remember you from the land of the Jordan and the peaks of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the sound of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have rolled over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and his song will be with me in the night, a prayer to the God of my life. See, what faith does is it brings everything in prayer to God with the expectation of results. What faith does is it reminds us that God is present to help. He's not the one imposing the problems. He said that he blessed them. The first thing he did with humanity was he blessed them. And if you think God's putting a curse on you, you're wrong, because it says Jesus, who knew no sin, was made to be sin on our behalf. He became a curse for us so that the blessing of God would come upon us. Amen. It's really amazing to understand this. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Am I going mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? So that's what happened in Isaiah's day. In Isaiah's day, they said, why do you think that your ways are being ignored by God? God is rebuking. In fact, I'll read this to you really quick. You don't have to turn to it. Why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? God doesn't care about me. And the justice due me escapes the notice of my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. That's good, isn't it? In a world of exhaustion, and he doesn't need 5 hours. I know one guy who drank 5 of them and said, I'm going to be up for 25 hours. I think you're just going to be irritable, and I don't want to be around you for the next few hours. God doesn't need to chug 5 hours. He's eternally on, never depleted, never depressed, never bummed out. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Why? Because he's a power source. He gives power to the faint, it says in King James. I have a friend who wrote a song, and he sang that over and over and over again, and I used to jog to it. He gives power to the faint, power to the faint. So I said, hey, you know, when I jog, it's perfect rhythm. Your song is... He said, I've heard people say that. He doesn't jog, but he says, I know people who do. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly. See, sometimes youths get a little bit tired. Those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. See, that's why he says, why are you in despair, O my soul, and why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God. Now, hope in God is deliberate. Hope is expectation, where you look to God with expectation, greater expectation, heightened expectation. Don't manage your expectation. Don't downgrade your expectations. Keep biblical hope alive by looking to God with this expectation, this firm persuasion. Now, faith gives substance to the things you hope for. A few years ago, I did a driveway and poured a patio. And so what I did is I built the forms with reinforcement bar and 2x4s or 2x6s. And I leveled the ground and I put gravel down and I had it all ready so that when the concrete truck came, I showed them where to dump the concrete, and then I floated the concrete with one of these big, giant, what's it called, pull float? Pull float. Okay, so it was about 90 degrees, and it was the end of the day, so the concrete, they had thrown some stuff in it to make it not set up just yet, but once the concrete gets poured, you gotta settle it, and it basically has an attitude. It looks at you and says, you better hurry up. I'm developing a life of my own. So anyway, I had a gravel driveway and a gravel backyard, and I thought, my kids are going to come to the age where they're going to be skating and riding bikes and stuff. It would be much better, instead of having gravel, to have concrete. Yeah, it is better for the purposes of this message. So what I hoped for was defined by these predetermined lines that I had measured out and nailed to the ground with these boards. This is what I'm wanting to have happen. And then the substance of that concrete got poured in there. My hope was I prepared for it, and then I called in the truck, and it put the concrete in there, and then I was able to smooth it out, and it was wonderful. And sure enough, all the things I imagined we would be able to do on that concrete, the kids would be riding around the corner, and every time they rode around the corner, I thought one day when this was gravel and they couldn't do that, they couldn't skate on that, now they can. And I mean, even here in this facility, I remember prayer meetings where we were driving the stakes in the ground, and we were calling those things which be not as though they are. And we were looking to the God of hope, and we're saying, God, these are our hopes. We hope for an atmosphere where one day we could have enough acres to be able to do some things here. Well, we could reach out to our community. We can have church. We don't have to go from one building to another, to another, to another. I mean, there are people that ask me, church, where's church next week, Pastor? And I'd say, I don't know. I didn't even know. We didn't even know where we were going to have church in it. And we'd have to have people call the office because we didn't even know where we were going to go next. That was fun. For me, it was fun. It must have been fun for Israel to live in booths, live in tents, and go from place to place. But it must have been also exciting when they got to build the temple and they got to have that place where they got to take it to another level. It was cool to have a gravel drive and, you know, old school, but it was even cooler when the concrete came. So I'm just telling you that the process is great, but also we're just continually putting our hope in God with expectation for greater things to happen in each one of our lives. Why so downcast, oh my soul? I'll tell you why. Because the bad news is spoken so articulately right now. People are doing such a good job of speaking bad news. And the church needs to become better at sharing good news. And we need to learn internally to know how to swing out of the despair zone and put our hope in God. Now, it's interesting, though, isn't it, that Elijah, Paul, David, Israel, Jonah, great people of faith, had to go through these amazing challenges and trials. I think it's good at least to know. And then it says in verse 11, why are you in despair, O my soul, and why have you become disturbed in me? Hope in God, and I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. See, any sickness a man can bear, but a broken spirit, who can bear? The Bible says that a broken spirit dries up the bones, but a merry heart does good like a medicine. So, oh, Pastor Jeff, you're up there trying to cheer us up. Well, what's wrong with that? I am trying to cheer you up. I'm not trying to hype it. I'm taking you back to many, many scriptures. I just referenced 5 or 6 heroes of faith. We just went through and explored 2 key psalms. I just read almost the entire psalm to you. No, I did. I read almost 2 psalms. You could go home tonight and go, man, I've had a great week of Bible intake. I read Psalm 3. Well, somebody else did for me. And Psalm 42. It starts out with, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? This is really essentially what it boils down to. We're going to put our hope in God. We're going to trust in God. Now let's go to a couple more verses over in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. The writer of Hebrews, who I'm sure had to deal with these ups and downs of life, made sure he told us that we are not to throw away our confidence, which has a great reward. He that comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who seek him. Amen. You seek him, you'll find him. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Do it. That's why I led that prayer earlier. For the people in here who have come, and there's some who've come, who've not really darkened the doors of church. Every time we gather, there are people that are breaking into our ranks saying, I need Jesus, I need help, I don't know what to do. The Lord adds to the church daily those who are being saved. It's a phenomenon that happens in church. God just causes believers to be attractors. You carry the presence of God. Some of you might not even be aware of it. In fact, you might be so aware of the despair that you've lost sight of the higher potential. You're the light of the world and you're the salt of the earth. And as I started in the service with Revelation chapter 1, you are already priests unto God. You're not going to be someday. You are now. That's who you are. And Satan hates the fact that he forfeited his post and we filled in that place. But we've got to walk in this thing and be bold in this thing and take our place in this thing. Hope in God. Trust in God. Cast not away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. Then it says in verse 39, but we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come, and he will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. We are not of those who shrink back. Elijah was starting to shrink back, and God fanned the flames in his heart. He visited him in a still small voice and revived him. Paul went through shipwreck, went through challenges and trials. Can I read this to you real quick? It's fascinating to me because I love Paul so much. He said, I want you to know that we were burdened excessively beyond our own strength. We despaired even of life. Let me read some other translations to identify the situation. Weighed down exceedingly beyond our own power. We were exceedingly depressed, completely overwhelmed. I was crushed far beyond what I could stand. He said it was so bad we didn't think we were going to make it, the Message Bible says. And yet you prayed, he told the Corinthians. He said, indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. This is essentially why there's so much challenge in our lives. It puts us back in touch with how much we need God. We end up going back to God in these moments. That's what he said. Why so downcast, O my soul? Why so disquieted within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet again praise him. And I love what Paul said here. He delivered us from so great a peril of death. He will deliver us. He on whom we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us. Amen. I love the past, present, future deliverance power of God. And he said, you also joining and helping us through your prayers, so that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed on us through the prayers of many. You know, you could pray for our city and favor will be bestowed upon it. You could pray for your church and favor will be bestowed upon it. You pray for your kids, favor will be bestowed. They prayed for the Apostle Paul, and he that despaired, he said, I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of the affliction which came to us in Asia. I'm so thankful that the Bible reveals the way life really is. And it shows us how big and how great God's capacity is to come through all the way to the end. Hallelujah. Amen. Finishing with Hebrews. Now, I said I was going to go to Hebrews. So we're going to finish with Hebrews. And I want you to just see Hebrews, the 11th chapter. And I want to go to verse 32. It identifies six individuals and then generally the prophets who overcame, won the battles of life. They're called heroes of faith. Gideon the brave, Barak the victorious, Samson the strong, Jephthah the devoted, David the psalmist, Samuel the consecrated, all the prophets, the messengers. He said, what shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions. I talked a lot about that. I believe tonight we're shutting the mouths of lions. Satan is like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. But resist him. Firm in your faith. That's what we're doing right now. We're resisting the devil and he's fleeing from us. We're closing the doors to despair. Why so downcast, O my soul? Hey soul, what's up? Well, whatever the case may be, whether it's hormonal, whether it's because of bills, whether it's because of the murmurings of others, whether it's because of our personal failure, whether it's because of the pressures of the day, whether it's because of bad weather, whether it's because of chapped lips, whether it's because of sore feet, whether it's because of mean neighbors, whether it's because of barking dogs, whether it's because of, we can name a zillion things, but we need to shift and put our hope in God. Hope is the anchor for our souls. We put our hope in him. And faith is the substance of the things we hope for. We have hopes, and then we identify what the concrete truths of the promises of God are. We call in the truck and say, pour it in. Come on, we're ready. and we take our stand on the promises of God. And having done all to stand, we stand. They quenched the power of fire. They obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, escaped the edge of the sword. From weakness they were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. God is so powerful. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Well, anybody have any reasons? Sure, there are plenty. But we're going to put our hope in God. How do you put your hope in God? By laying hold of his promises, laying hold of the word of God. Let me tell you what I said, and I wrote on my notes. Find God's revealed will regarding every given situation. Find God's revealed will regarding any given situation. Correctly interpret the context. Read, meditate, speak, and pray. Read the Bible. Meditate on the Bible. You know what meditation is? Reading slowly. You know what speaking is? It's speaking. You know what prayer is? Speaking to God about what you've meditated on and read and bringing it to the Lord. Father, this is what your word says. I take my stand. And you know, I even started a prayer the other day. God, I know you know all this already, but I'm going to just open my heart and just bring your word to you because you seem to like this. This is how you designed it. And as I believe, therefore I speak. Out of that which fills the heart, the mouth speaks. So as you fill your heart with God's promises, it's going to do something in your heart. Let's lift up our hands right now. Father, I thank you. Faithful is he who calls us. He'll also bring it to pass. God, I thank you for the people in this room who have spent a lot of years in religious context, and they're moving forward into a personal devotion with you. I thank you that theirs is a journey that you will see them through on. I thank you that you're nurturing their faith. And now, Lord, we thank you for being the glory and the lifter of our heads. You are the glory and the lifter of our heads. Lord, I pray for a strengthening of joy, a supernatural flow of your Holy Spirit in this place right now. God, I thank you for moving in this place with these people. We cast all of our cares upon you. Boy, for somebody in here, you needed this vital moment. You're having a mental rest right now. For the last 40 minutes or so, there's been peace in your heart for the first time in a while. And you're concerned that when you walk out, if all those anxieties are going to attack you, pressure you, and worry you again. Well, read the word, meditate, speak it out of your mouth, pray it, faith. Take your stand and use the word of God as a two-edged sword. Just like when Jesus was being tempted and vexed by the devil, he kept saying, "It is written." You say the "it is written"s of God against these anxiety-producing things. Lay hold of the specific promises. You don't have to read 50,000 promises. Find the one or two or three that will really pertain to your situation. And having done all to stand, you stand. Write them down in the inside of your Bible. Write them down in your journal. Write them down on a piece of paper and put them in your pocket. Pull it out and read it. Meditate on it. Focus on it. Thank you, Jesus. God, I thank you for strengthening people tonight. We give you praise. We give you thanks. We worship you, Jesus. God bless you guys. Have a great weekend. See you on Sunday.